can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don and Ivan, we're about to speak to a remarkable person, a remarkable athlete. Extraordinary what this person has done, if you think about it. Not sure he's received a hell of a lot of publicity about it, but he is a Leviathan in any, under any terms you'd like to mention. He is a Leviathan, and he's about to embark on a epic journey. An epic journey. He's about to try and swim the Loch Ness in Scotland. I'm not sure what the record is or if other people have done it, but of course that's why he's here. We're going to ask him this. But if you want a pedigree for a person who would be capable of doing this, his pedigree is impeccable and his credentials are beyond reproach. He is an amazing athlete, and as I say, sails under the radar a bit, but we're hoping that by speaking to him, you know, people understand the gravity of what he does. His name is John Van Wisser, and he is with us here today. And just before we start, I looked up, of course, as what I always do, John. And incidentally, his right-hand man is John Locko for this swim. And John Locko is here because he filmed along with
David Brooks.
I couldn't think of what I was going to say. Paul Brooks. David Brooks. Remember we had David Brooks in here and you manhandled his girlfriend here? Remember you physically almost undressed her while we were filming her on the podcast? You were captivated by David Brooks and John Locko filmed John Van Wisser doing something, which we'll get on to in a minute. But it just said in the introduction in the Google machine, it said that he was born in 1972 or 1973. Now, did you know that it had that there? Which year were you born in?
I was a slow birth.
Were you born in?
It was a long labour. It was
I've got to say, you must have started on the, just on the, ticked over the new year. And what did it say that?
I got no idea, Sam, how that
works.
Born
in 1972 or 1973. Yeah. Were you born in either of those 2 years?
Well, I like to keep myself under 50, so... So I say it's 50 now, and 1973. No, I'm born the end of 72, Sam.
End of?
Yeah, December 1972.
I got a feeling it was a long labour because it probably would have popped out just as the...
It was a hard labour.
It went over midnight, the clock. Anyhow, John, we've got you in here primarily to speak about the Loch Ness swim, and you're leaving Australia at the start of next month almost, and just tell us in your own words what you're about to do.
Oh, I'm swimming the length of Loch Ness, Sam. So it's 36.4K. So the Loch Ness is basically like a big, long funnel. It's like engulfed by the highlands. And it's only a mile across, but it's 36.4K long. And there's an establishment, you pay them a fee, and they give you the boat and the observer, so they log it all.
So this is, you're going for a Guinness, you're going for a world record?
Hopefully, yeah. The record time.
But... There are stringent conditions. You can't just turn up there and have... You've got to stick to their protocol, don't you?
Yeah, so you can't wear a wetsuit. You're only allowed one pair of bathers, one normal cap and goggles. And you can't touch the boat. You've got to be fully out of the water before anyone touched you. So it's the same English Channel as English Channel rules. And you get a one-week window. So I've got a one-week window from July 23rd to the 30th.
Why is there a window?
Just for weather, Don. So there's actually three people booked in that week. I'm number two, so I have to wait for the first guy to swim. Then I get the next best day, and then the third guy gets the day after me. So
is there a world record established already?
Well, there's a record time which has stood since 1995. Of 9 hours, 25 minutes.
9 hours.
9 hours for 36 miles?
36K, Don.
Oh,
36.4K.
And you're obviously attempting to break nine hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's the plan, yeah, hopefully.
And if you follow that protocol, you'll be then registered as the world record holder until someone comes along and beats you. Now, John, I know the extraordinary lengths you've gone to prepare yourself for this. I said to someone that we were going to speak to you today, this was yesterday, I think at the Hall of Fame function I was at, and I said, well, this man's going over to do the Loch Ness, and he's been training by lying in an ice bath for 40 minutes. And they said, that is a direct lie. I said, mate, I've seen a video of him lying in... He said, you could not possibly lie in an ice bath for 40 minutes. Just explain, just to confirm that you did do that, and how in God's name does your body handle that?
Well, that's my record time. Yeah, we've got a chest freezer, so electric freezer. And you can make it as cold as you want. So we've got a regulator. So we set it at -3. And when I open the lid, I've got to get the sledgehammer and smash the ice. And
This man who I was speaking to, he said that can't be good for you.
Probably not.
Money where his mouth is, Sam. We'll take him on.
Now, just a minute, John. Yeah, this is John Locko.
Thank you, Sam.
John was the ex-mayor of Brighton, and John knows the name of the unknown soldier. There's no one in the world that John doesn't know.
I think he's the Jack Nicholson of Brighton. You know, one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah, well, how he looked
he's
after
in charge
the
asylum. The asylum at Brighton. And Whistler, Locko and Hunt.
And Hunt.
In the same, So just before we get on to... I want to speak to you, John. Just before we...
But, Sam, Johnny actually started the cold water swimming. He was iceberging like 50 years ago.
The Brighton Bars.
Yeah, Johnny saved the Brighton Bars. He became the mayor and saved the bars. And he's the president of the Brighton Icebergers, so he's been doing it for like 50 years. He hasn't missed a winter.
I noticed that the Royal Melbourne Yacht Club tried to take over the name of the Icebergers. I noticed that in the Google machine. Did you know that? They wanted to usurp you as the official...
That was years ago, wasn't it?
Years ago.
Yeah, I can't recall the details of it, but it went nowhere. I don't think it was serious.
No, you gave him an offer that you said back off or we'll break your legs.
Someone said something to him, Sam. I don't know what was said to them.
Can I ask John a question? John, the temperature of Loch Ness is not going to be freezing like you've been in the bath.
Nah.
So you should be able to, your body should be able to handle it without a problem.
No, it's different, Don, because it's time in the water. So if you're in the water for 9 hours, it's accumulation.
But you're moving about. The blood will be pumping through your body.
You're going to be sweating.
Will you shut up? I'm trying to have an intellectual conversation.
Well, how could you say
shut up. Whereas when in the ice bath, your veins would be constricting, which wouldn't allow the blood to flow through. But it should be flowing through if you're moving around as you're doing in the water.
Well, that's a plan, Don, so I'm hoping, I've been doing 10Ks on a Thursday in the bay without a suit, and that's about 10 or 11 degrees. So
what's the temperature at Loch Ness?
Well, there's conflicting websites. One says 11, the other one says 16. So I'm not sure, but they both look real professional. They did have a good warm patch. They had mid-20s for a while, but now I've looked at the long-term fork. When I say long-term, the next week it's all kind of 16, 17 again. I'm not sure, 100% sure what it's going to be, but it's going to be cold. I just know if it's going to be really cold or cold.
If I may suggest, Don, you said he should be able to handle it easily. There's a hell of a difference, I'd suggest, between 40 minutes in an ice bath and 9 hours and 25 minutes in a cold stretch of water. Would you reckon your body might start to get a bit twitchy after 5 or 6 hours?
Well, I really don't know because I'm not a swimmer
at
all.
That's true.
I'm not a swimmer, but you've trained for this and you've... And what's the difference? Is this longer than the channel?
It's about the same, Don. The channel's 33K if you do a straight line, but the channel's tidal.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but it'd be easier swimming Loch Ness because that'd be a still water, whereas the channel, there are currents.
Yeah, it's different, Don, because the Loch Ness being freshwater, there's no buoyancy, where the English channel, salt water gives you a lot of buoyancy.
Yeah.
But the English channel has big tides, depending on your window.
You're talking
so
down
you get
this.
No, I'm not. I'm asking.
Just different challenges.
We'll get onto the English channel, all that. You've done that. We just get
Do you think you'd have more success if you were female and had blonde hair?
Don't know. Never been a female with blonde hair.
So. Well, that was a dig. Your sister had was a female. Yeah. She received a lot of publicity. Yeah. She was a long-distance swimmer with blonde hair.
Tammy. True.
Tammy.
So are you, is Tammy on board with all this? Are you get on with your sister?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, she actually swam the Loch. She actually swam Loch Ness in 1999, but with a wetsuit. So now it's not allowed. So now it's a sanctioned event. So it's only kind of happened the last probably 10 years where they've regulated it.
Is she coming over to see you off?
No,
or not?
No, she's not coming.
How are you getting on with her?
All right.
Yeah. There's not any sibling rivalry, is what I meant.
Oh, we've always had a rivalry. Yeah,
yeah, good.
Absolutely. She's actually got the quickest time, 9 hours and 8 minutes.
With the wetsuit.
With the wetsuit, yeah.
9 hours.
9 hours and 8 minutes. So I know it's going to be a tough record.
Well, this will be motivation.
Wow.
Just knock the little blister off.
Yeah, so I actually went over with her that time and jumped in there, and so I've swum in it. I know it's bloody cold. There's no buoyancy.
That's
jet black. It's real. It's like 200-something metres deep, apparently.
Wow.
I haven't touched the bottom.
Shit.
And it's like looking at the night sky, and your body's like illuminated like a light globe. It's kind of beautiful and eerie at the same time.
So what do you take off in the morning?
Not sure, Don. Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, what do you mean not sure?
Oh, because that's what the boatman will tell us when we get there. So when we get there, we'll be in contact with the boatman with the weather forecast. Obviously, I have to wait for the other guy to have his swim first.
Oh.
And then he'll advise us when the best time is to leave, you know, with weather. And I don't think it's a 1 metre tide there, so I don't think that's any significance.
So
a 1 metre tide for an inland lake?
Yeah, because it has a slight outlet that goes to the ocean. So it has a little stream that gets to the ocean.
Oh.
So how do you prepare, like the day before or the week before? Do you bulk up? What do you do? Do you take what sort of food, what sort of intake? And during the swim, what do you do?
It'd be nice to know the exact temperature of the lock, because then I could work out how fat I've got to get.
Well, it wouldn't be 16 degrees.
Well, they did have mid-20s for a week. But I'm preparing.
Now, hang on, you mean the outside temperature, not water temperature?
No, yeah, the outside temp, they had a heat wave, but now it's back down to kind of 16, 17 for the next week. So the fatter you get, the more warmth you have, but the slower you are. So it's a fine line of trying to swim
fast.
What
about lard? Are you allowed to put lard on the body?
You can, Don, but that's not like the science now is you just put it where you chafe. They reckon if you have it all over your body, it covers your pores and it's not good.
What doesn't breathe, your body doesn't breathe?
Let your body breathe. Not that I'll be sweating, but that's the latest literature, because the old days in English Channel, you used to be able to get this stuff called channel grease, which you could buy at Boots Chemist, and lots of channel swimmers would go to Boots Chemist and just buy it. They wouldn't tell you what was in it, but it was basically just lanolin with Vaseline and wool fat. But now the latest literature is you only put, you know, Vaseline under your armpits and neck and places where you chafe.
So while you're swimming, can people in John Locker, you're accompanying him on the boat, are you?
I have the honour of doing so, Sam, yes.
And are you, is John or your, how many people are allowed to attend you, as many as you like in the boat?
As long as you don't touch him. You're not allowed to touch him at any stage.
So do you get handed food or sustenance? On the end of drinks?
Yeah, I forgot about that part of Chris. Sorry, Sam. Yeah, I've actually got a mate, an English guy, who's coming over part of the trip, and he's bringing a fishing rod. So we're going to practice before we start. He's going to have a bottle I'm going to use like Gatorades and tea and things like that. I'm going to rig up a system.
Yeah.
So I feed every 20 minutes to half an hour, and he basically dangles over fishing, so I save time.
So, and you're allowed to have a fishing rod dangled and you're allowed to grab hold of the bottle.
You just can't touch anyone. You can't touch the boat. You've got to tread water.
That's extraordinary.
What about drugs? Is there any testing?
No testing.
So you can take anything?
Well, probably, but I haven't.
Okay. We run a very clean show, and we've got to mention John's name over there, John Bond and his lovely wife, Sarah.
Johnny Bond. So Johnny Bond's coming over from England. Yeah, so he's got part of the crew, and he's organising the fishing rod. And
you took that seriously, John Locke. Oh, he was joking about taking the drugs, I think. Weren't you, Don?
No, I didn't. Serious. Everything I ask is very serious.
I'd have a jab of heroin or something.
No, performance enhancing.
Steroids, I see.
Well, no, there might be other things.
No, I did take it seriously, Sam, because I lived through the Sam Solomon drugs saga when he was falsely accused immediately upon victory by Felix Strum. And that was a very harrowing time for Sam King Solomon. We run a totally clean show, and they can drug test John or Sam anytime they want to, anywhere they want to do it.
Well, beautifully said, John. You stared straight at me as if I was doubting what you said. And you scared me, to be honest. I hate to get in your gaze if you're angry. You take Gatorade, and would you eat something or
not? Nah, because when you're swimming, Sam, there's the concentration of blood's in your shoulders, and it sounds silly, but just eating something on land that would take 10 seconds takes about a minute when you're in the water.
Yeah,
it takes too long. Yeah. So you try and get all your sugar just out of drinks.
It's extraordinary. So now then we're just finally finished on. We've got a lot of other things to speak to about. So you will embark in a couple of weeks and fly over and prepare yourself. You're going, John Locko.
I am, Sam.
Now, Rex says he's trying to get there, does he?
Well, it'll be a highlight to have Rex there.
A highlight.
The problem would be actually getting Rex there.
Yes.
But he's certainly welcome.
Rex was telling me how he was telling me the mechanics of how he was going to get there, and he lost me after he said he was hiring a private jet, getting a helicopter, getting a space shuttle. I lost track of what he was saying, but he said he was definitely trying to be there.
Well, he is, and all things are possible when the big burbler turns his mind to things.
You were out at the Veneto Club by way of distraction. You were out at the Veneto Club with John Van Wisser and Phoebe over there. It was an interesting night, wasn't it?
The most memorable night of my entire existence, Sam. And I'm rising 73 in August. I've never seen a night like it before.
So do you think it's got legs, the duo of Newman?
Massively
and
so,
Hunt?
Dom. Massively so, but I would probably think an essential requirement to have Sam Newman present on all occasions.
Now,
I think they're featuring at the Rosebud on the 13th
Rex
of July.
Is not at the Rosebud.
Why? No, you've got to get him along
with
as
the
a
Rosebud.
Guest.
Shut up. Now, so you've swum the English Channel, John? Yeah. How many times?
Well, I did a single and then I did a double crossing.
Hang on. He struck out from England. What's it? Where do you
Dover.
Dover. Dover. And you got to
Calais.
And then you did a tumble turn and came back.
Yeah.
He forgot his towel. He forgot his towel.
Extraordinary. Why? First question is, why would you do? How taxing and how much mental discipline do you have to get over there almost completely fucked and then turn around and do it again? What goes on in your brain?
Oh, not much, Dan.
That's extraordinary.
Brain. It's not much happening.
John,
I'm
just asking about swimming.
Yeah.
John, I'm not a swimmer, but as a swimmer doing long distance, are you reliant on your arms or your legs, or is it a combination of both, or is it just your arms, not your legs, and your legs just trail in the water?
No, it's 99% arms, Don. The further you swim, it's more about your arms. If you're sprinting, then your legs come into play.
So your legs don't help propel you in the long distance? Take the pressure off your arms?
Your biggest muscles are your legs, so if you go to your legs, it takes a lot of energy. So if you watch distance swimmers in the pool, the further they swim, the less they kick. Yeah, no, it's a good question. So if you watch the 1500 freestyle, the Olympics,
there's nothing. Oh, I know that.
They kick, but they kick a lot less. Yes. When they have 100 metres to go, then they bring their legs in.
Yes.
So the kick's like the icing on the cake, but it's very taxing. If you're going to go to your legs, it's the biggest muscles in your body. You're really only going to get an advantage for a short distance. Otherwise, it's just too taxing to combine the both. So it's mostly arms, Don.
Right. Don's modest about his swimming. He was a very good swimmer. His mother used to be a streetwalker in Venice, and that's where he learned how to swim. So you, the English Channel. Let's get onto that. So, I know at the boy from Hawthorne,
Campbell Brown.
Crack at it. He got what an effort. He got halfway across, didn't he?
Oh, he had a shocking window though. I know you've seen the footage and it looked dead flat, but this storm came in later and it came in 12 hours earlier than they expected. So everybody that was out that day got pulled out. Nobody got across that day. It was a horrible storm, but the footage everyone saw was when he took off, it was pancake flat, and then this storm came in ahead of schedule and everyone got pulled out. It was just bad luck.
And when you swam across the channel, did you get drifted offline by the tide, or was it calculated precisely so that you had minimal wavering of the course?
Oh, see, it's there's neap tides and spring tides. Yes. And it's 1 week neap, 1 week spring. Spring's the bigger tide.
Yep.
Because it's so busy, Sam, it's hard to book in a
What's
good tide.
Busy? The tide, the channel?
No, the channel, Don. There's only probably, I'm not sure, maybe 20 boatmen, and people from all over the world are booking in.
Really?
So, yeah, in the old days, they only in the 80s, they only took out on neap tides. Now they take out neap tides and spring tides. The spring tides are the bigger tide when the moon and sun align, so you're getting swept on a bigger S course. So you think you're swimming straight, but you're actually doing an S.
Yeah, so instead of swimming 30, well, you end up swimming.
Yeah, so I've had mixed swims there. So I've had, when I did my Archer Arc, which was where you...
No, we'll get on to the Archer Arc in a minute.
That was a big
So,
tide.
John, I didn't realise so many people are involved. It doesn't receive the publicity that it deserves, does it?
The channel, because lots of people...
Well, long distance swimming.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but if you're doing sport, you're doing it because you love it, not for that. So if you...
So, John Locker, you just said it's a huge business over
it's
there.
It's a massive business.
For who, though, the John?
Well, for the boatmen. People that conduct the
But what about the
swim,
athletes?
The boatmen. Nah. No, for the athletes, it represents an enormous cost. The money is if you are operating a craft that escorts the swimmers across the channel. And, John, correct me if I'm wrong, and you would know because we have paid, but it's about $10,000 or $12,000 a swim, isn't it, to hire a boat?
Oh, no, the boat costs about $5,000.
Which is English pound.
It's a while ago, but I think it's $5,000 Australian. But then obviously you've got to get there and get a crew there. And they provide the boat, the pilot and the observer.
Yeah.
So they log it all and then it goes down the record books. So they make a good business because they can book up to 4 people a week. Yeah, so that's what I mean, Don. They give you a number. So if you're number one, you get the first best day. Gee. If I'm number two, I get the next best day.
Yeah.
So they can book 4 people in a week. So they now, get 4 people.
This is on the channel.
Yeah, so they get
and
4 people.
And what's their window of business then?
Oh, so you get a week. Generally, get a
the
week.
Channel season. The channel season.
Yeah, the channel season is like June till September.
Oh, that long.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's also very busy with other crafts. So you've got the Russian cowboys operating their tankers that take.
What are you talking about, Russian cowboys?
Well, the English Channel is a body of water, Don, as I'm sure you appreciate, and there's plenty of other craft on it other than channel swimmers.
Oh.
And they've got tankers going up and down.
Oh.
They represent a real problem. They can't alter course quickly. There has been incidents where they've nearly run over swimmers in their boats. People have lost their lives swimming the channel.
Someone died last week from the channel.
Really?
They lost the bodies. They didn't see.
All this stuff.
I don't know how that happened. Yeah, it happened when I was there too. So, yeah, people died doing it.
Just before John did his world record in the Arch Arc, a fella had to be lifted out of the water. And getting him out of the water, you can't just lean over the side of the boat, Sam, and pull somebody into a boat, as you would know. And they got a helicopter to lift him out of the water.
Why?
And the downdraft killed him. Because, Don, when a person is 100 kgs, as John is, 105 swimming the English Channel, if he needs to get in the boat quickly, sometimes he needs assistance of other people. And if you haven't got the proper equipment, and you can't just haul somebody up and put them in a boat. You know, the boat's
and
that,
the helicopter downdraft drowned
killed him.
Oh,
yeah.
Good God.
The draft went through.
Hang on, this just doesn't make sense to me. Surely the boats that have ladders or some hookup to help these fellows in.
Yeah, but that's why they need to get in the boat, because they become helpless. It's just not get out of the water and get up and get in, because when they're swimming along, they resist the call to get out of the water. I was in a craft watching a man that took 24 hours to swim the English Channel in the same day. John did a double crossing in 19 hours and 6 minutes or something. It's just not easy to get somebody out of the water.
What, because they're determined to keep going? Or?
No, because they're hopeless. They're
but
hopeless.
Even if
they've
got a ladder,
their limbs.
Can't,
yes.
You can't actually grab hold of it.
Yeah. Dead weight. So if they're in that state, they're dead
wouldn't
weight.
You'd come up with something like a sling or something like that.
They're pretty
then you've got to get
Don,
it around them, Don. Then you've got to get somebody else in the water.
Yeah,
the boat's rocking and they're not cooperating. No, Don, it's not easy, Don.
Yeah, you'd think they'd spend a bit more money,
but we struggle.
It's pretty primitive.
So, John, I want to get on. When you struck out from Dover, did you say, I'm going to get to Calais and then I'm going to turn around and come home? Or did you decide you'd come back just on the spur of the moment?
No, it was already pre-booked.
Oh,
to
do
to pay
two
twice
crossings.
As much. Yeah.
People have done 4-way crossings there.
What? No, one person. No.
Yeah, what was her name?
Oh, I can't remember. She did a couple of years ago. It was amazing.
Yeah, we can't remember her.
Really?
Name. Yes.
So Des Renford, he did a few of them, didn't
Des Renford did, I think, 14 singles.
Yeah, it's just nothing. Didn't go over it back. What's wrong with him?
Just on the Channel crossing, it's a magnificent, that's the romantic swim. But John holds a record for going across Port Phillip Bay as a 19-year-old. John,
now
is that correct?
Just going to get on to all other memorable swims. Where, what, no,
from
please, John,
Geelong to
Port Arlington and the Frankston.
Port Arlington and the Frankston, Don.
Yes, sir, go on.
Well, the bay swim, the Port Phillip Bay swim, conducted from Port Arlington to Frankston, about 42 k's, John.
Yeah.
And you went across in 8.5 hours?
No, it was 9 hours something.
9 hours.
Yeah. And you got the sharks to put up with.
Exactly. You do that in a shark cage.
Do you?
Well, you can do it.
Are the sharks out in the bay?
Absolutely they are.
I have a boat.
Yes.
I've been doing that for 16, 17. I've never seen... I maybe see a dolphin, or not a dolphin, a porpoise. I've never seen a shark or anything.
Well, just keep throwing that mat out that you've got and the people enjoying themselves.
It's extraordinary. When you've been swimming across the bay, our Port Phillip Bay, have you... the shark danger, is it?
There is. There is a shark factor in Port Phillip Bay that you don't have in the English Channel and these other long-distance swims. Like John's won Manhattan Island three times, 47 k's around Manhattan Island, the Hudson, the East and the Harlem Rivers, John.
Yeah.
There's no shark factor, but you've got planks and bodies and planes.
I'm going to get onto the Arch to Ark in a minute because that is extraordinary in itself, and you took a film of it, which my son Jack said is the best thing he's ever seen. Tell me what else, what would you like to do? Have you ever swum, how'd you like to swim across the Drake Passage down the Antarctic? Now, what, do you ever swim in the Antarctic? Because you're sitting next to a bloke who has, as a matter of fact, swum in the Antarctic myself.
How was that, Sam?
12 seconds I was in.
What about swims around the world? There are mountains to climb.
Yeah.
What about swims? What are those swims?
Oh, well, actually, what was it, about 6 months ago, some girl broke the record in Antarctic. It was like 2K in... 3 degrees.
Which we're after, yeah. She
I thought that'd be a good goal.
Yeah, but there's got to be swim. I know Brian Cook, who's the general manager at Carlton, he went around the world doing various swims. Now, there's got to be certain swims at these long distance. What are they and where are they? Do you know them?
Oh, nah. There's the Ocean Sevens, which is quite trendy, but I'm not sure which ones. That's what a lot of marathon swimmers do.
What about the Triple Crown, John?
The Triple Crown's what the Americans call, which is the race around Manhattan Island, the English Channel, and Catalina in LA, and you add your times together, and that's called the Triple Crown.
That's hard, that Catalina thing, because that's a very rugged tide going out. That's under the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, no, Catalina's pretty good, Don. Catalina's probably the...
What period of time do you have to swim those three?
Oh, there's no period of time, though.
Add them whenever you do.
They add their times together.
Now, John, what is regarded as the hardest triathlon on the planet is the Arch to Arch.
Correct.
So, John Locko, you just explain. Now, you're better to explain it. You went over with David Brooks and did a film called Crossing the Line.
Which you can find on YouTube, but you need to put John Van Wisser's name next to that because there was 40 films called Crossing the Line made that year.
I was going to say exactly that because I did that myself. And there was a whole lot of Crossing the Lines and I saw John Van Wisser. Mm. And someone else you had with him said, you can't believe how exhausting this is, and this man is a genius. And so just tell us what that's about.
Well, the arch starts from the Marble Arch in London. You run 160 k's, 100 miles to Dover, the English Channel.
Yep.
From Dover in the English Channel, you swim across the channel.
Just a minute, John, please. So you run 100 miles and you get there. Can you stop and have a rest?
You can do whatever you want.
As long as just the time you're trying to break.
Exactly.
So the longer downtime you have, the worse the...
Correct. Yep. Correct. And after John had run his 100 miles, if I can digress for a moment,
please.
We had to get him back to Lord Hythe's place on the estate where we were staying. And we're carrying John up to the bath and he went into a very, very deep state of relaxation. I was carrying John up the stairs with the fabulous man, Steve Cummings, the Lion King, and John actually fell back on us and we pulled the rail off the wall, and this should have all been filmed. We've got John in the bathtub to recover him, to warm him up.
This is from the run?
Yes, this is from the run. We'd driven back to the estate, which was a tactical mistake. We should have stayed by the side of the English Channel, so there's less travel time and less time off the clock.
Yep.
So anyway, John gets in the bath and I'm filming him, And I said, look, I've got to turn this film off because they'll be saying to me, why were you filming a dying man and not assisted
him?
So I turned the film off and we assisted John, got him in a bed. He made a remarkable recovery and then we drive him off.
Over what period of time?
Overnight. Overnight, Don. Over whatever period of time he chose to do. He went to sleep for 4 to 6 hours and he was up again.
Hang on, 4 to 6 hours sleeping?
Yes.
Shit, that's not a good night's sleep.
No, it's not. But we're against the clock. So anyway, John recovers quicker than any of us. He then goes to the English Channel, to swim the English Channel. We drive him back to the English Channel. He gets on the boat. He's taken around to Shakespeare Beach where the actual official swim starts. Mm-hmm. He's mistaken for an illegal immigrant, which caused worldwide publicity all around the world. Too. CNN wanted to have him. They all wanted to have him. And the sponsors were very, very happy with that because according to the economic metric of the situation, they got great, great value for their sponsorship dollar. So John's in the Channel after having run 100 miles. He then swims the English Channel, and he swam on the back of a hurricane that had come in from the US. The Channel was closed to every other swimmer on that day. John was given permission to swim the Channel, which we had to argue vehemently for. John was given permission in the end. He swam 55 k's because of the tide, not 42 of the straight line. He completes the English Channel. He is in a very, very, very distressed state. He goes to bed.
How long did that take?
That took the English Channel from about
12 and a half hours.
12 and a half hours Shit. After having run 100 miles the previous day. He goes to bed that night. He's the first up. He's on the bike. He faces a 300K ride into the centre of Paris, the Arc de Triomphe along the Champs-Élysées. We have information from one of our very trusted people that it's a flat undulating course. It was nothing like that, Robbie Rawlings, so I've still got you in the gun for that. But anyway, John got on his bike and he rode into Paris and he set the world record of 61 hours. Now, it's easy to say 61 hours. In 61 hours, you're going to have 3 work days, 9 meals and 3 sleeps. And in all that time, that man was exercising.
Yeah, it's just...
Which was the easiest leg, John?
Oh, probably the bike, Don, because, the bike, you just got to sit on and push. You know you're going to get there. Unless you have a crash, you know, you got to all sit up there and push the pedals. And
could you see yourself, John? You're obsessed with this. Could you see yourself actually... Could you see yourself being so obsessed with this that you'd die doing it? That you just say, no, I'm going to keep going, and you just, your willpower, you'd end up killing yourself doing it.
I didn't go that far.
I don't mean killing yourself, but you can push yourself so much that your mind says that and your body says, no, I can't do this.
Your body turns on itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, but if you do the training, you kind of recover
again. Yeah, but guys do it, and they do that Iron Man in Hawaii, and their bodies turn on them.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Things can go wrong, obviously.
The man that runs the event, the great Edgar Eddy, we follow along in the car. We rely on Edgar's expertise. And we're talking about previous people that had done the Arc de Triomphe. Now, John set the world record in his first attempt. He's been back 3 or 4 times since and has failed to complete it. That's how hard it is. Yep. And Edgar Eddy, we were talking about other competitors, and he said, I'm worried about your bloke. He said, because other blokes will pull out, but this man will go to the point of
death. This is what I meant.
Exactly.
This is my clumsy way of saying, could you just drive yourself so much that you'll end up just expiring.
And at one stage I had to do the calculations.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you...
Absolutely. I had to do the calculations and break the news to John, you're out of this event, this doesn't happen, and we're great friends, and I didn't do that easily because I knew what a great effort he'd put into doing it, but I decided, his health comes first, and I called it off because I did the calculations and he wasn't going to achieve what we said we'd come to do.
So if you want to see this in action, you and Brooksy...
Yes,
have this very good filmed it. You filmed it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, and Channel 7 were good enough to show it twice nationally for us, so thanks, Channel 7. It's called Crossing the Line, John Van Wyss Athlete.
Yeah, now, there's got to be a cost factor in all of this.
Massive.
And where does is there sponsorship involved, or is there sponsorship available?
Well, I'm going to mention people, and they probably don't want their name mentioned, but I mentioned Matthew Nunn of Nunn Media, who's very generous with John. Gary Johnson, massive Footscray man and of Burson All Day Spares fame, very, very generous with us, Gary Johnson and other people. So, yeah, people provide sponsor.
John Wall.
John Wall, of course, Acquire Learning.
And Sam Newman.
Sam Newman, of course.
So tell me this. Yes. Why wouldn't, I can't think of their name, the breakfast cereal people, what are they called?
Uncle Toby's?
Oh, no.
Special K or something.
Special K.
Why wouldn't this attract...
I'm not the man to put that question to, but why wouldn't it, Sam? Absolutely.
Or Viper or Red Bull or some...
Exactly.
Why wouldn't protein shake or so, I don't know, why wouldn't they be involved in this? This is extraordinary stuff.
Well, Sam, and even a rich individual out there that would like the time of his life, I mean, this is boys only stuff, to go and see a man do an arts arc, swim around Manhattan on the way he's done, even knock them out first round as a boxer, which you might... If they want to come along and they'd be more than welcome if they want to make a contribution.
Doing this thing in Loch Ness? What would be the costs of doing all of this?
Well, it's airfares. It's accommodation.
Come on, put
it's
a figure. Food.
Well, you go through if you want to.
Depends on how many
hairpins. In the middle of the plane, or if you wanted to get up the sharp end, which you probably wouldn't, but you want to lie down going across.
Airfares, to do arts, for example, I can tell you, is $250,000 for it.
Really?
Years. Yes. Because you've got airfares, you've got accommodation, you've got fees to associations.
So why wouldn't Australia's Kangaroo Airlines, Qantas, why wouldn't they fly you over? You mean we've got a lot of people advertising Qantas. What about
Why wouldn't they, Don?
Well, Mr. Joyce wouldn't be able to buy a home if he sponsored you people.
But we don't... I take nothing. I go along, I pay my own way. It's all about getting John. Because what people don't realise about John, he gets up at 4 o'clock every morning, he goes to work, he trains people, he's got squads. He then spends... After that, training. He then comes home, has a bit of food, takes some private clients, goes out and works again at night. And he works a split shift. He's done so around the clock. This man's got he's a Dutchman. I can't convince him that debt creates equity, but he's got an enormous, enormous work ethic, this man. And he trains very, very hard.
And I might just add that it's we're freezing our tits off here. He's sitting here in a T-shirt. So he says, it's on the job training here while we're sitting here. How he's not frozen to death here is beyond me. So it is an extraordinary thing. There must be some company that would get some mileage out of this and go and film it and sure.
What about Ever Ready Batteries? It'd swim longer than Ever Ready Battery will operate.
Well, who can we give a shout out? Ever Ready Batteries or some breakfast cereal or some stamina drink or some protein shake or some airline or so.
Absolutely, Sam. Anything about endurance and durability and
longevity.
And you're
going over to film this?
Yes, Brooksy and I will have the camera out.
Brooksy's going?
Absolutely he is, yes. Yeah, David Brooksy's fantastic.
Well, don't leave his girl with Don, because by the time he gets back, she will be nowhere. Don will have taken her.
Well, that'd be her upgrading.
an upgrade, you think?
Absolutely, Don.
Well, so that's the swimming. So, John, I've been out to the pavilion. Pavilion twice. Yes. The Pavilion is a boxing arena out there. It used to be Festival Hall. You used to go to the Festival Hall, and then it was called, what was it called before that? Melbourne Stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
But now it's taken over. It's a little more upmarket than Festival Hall. So I've been out twice to see you fight two blokes. you wouldn't really call it a fight, would you?
Well, it was a professional contest, and
you would.
John fought Adam Fenton and had a victory over him in the first round.
I know, I was there.
And then
Rex was about ringside. Ringer was the announcer.
Was he for Adam Fenton? It might have been Scott Fossil Trezise. But then he fought Scott Trezise, had a victory over Scott. And prior to that, he'd had a club fight. So, Sam, if you could use your resources and
I know what you're going to say.
John's quite happy to step up and fight Paul Gallen.
Well, So
the great Paul Gallen, who we love and admire, we reckon he's fantastic.
We do. And he's,
I think he's retired, hasn't he?
Has well, hang on. We're asking Paul Gallen, the great Paul Gallen, to come out of retirement and fight just a mere stribling of a lad who swims, doesn't do weights, doesn't do any. Just
I do weights. Doesn't look like it, but I do.
John, please. The man is just a swimmer and rides a bike. As Paul Gallen couldn't tell him up, I'd be surprised, but he would love to challenge Paul Gallen just for a fight. Wouldn't it be fantastic? The man,
well, it would be.
The Iron Man against the Man of Iron.
Because Paul Gallen said he gave it away at 40, 41, as Paul, I don't know. Mm. But he's been magnificent, Paul Gallen. Yeah. If he wants to have one more fight, when John gets back from the Loch Ness, give us a little bit of time to recover, we'll happily step up and fight
Paul
Gallen.
It's all right using the plural we. You do bugger all.
I don't do bugger all. I spar with him,
I think
John.
You're lying on his coattail. You're just along for the ride.
No, cut it out there,
no,
Don.
No,
we'll end up having a blue bond, you and I. It'll be on.
John, you went close when you said, is he on drugs? You got upstairs, got the stair going. I wouldn't go any further, Don, if I was you. But maybe we could do a dual sponsorship. Someone who wants to sponsor this man to go and swim Loch Ness and then fight Paul Gallen might be just a quinella there. A sponsorship.
A trifecta, anything you want.
Anything at all.
Yeah, Paul's 41, 42, and he retired because he's too old. Now, John's 50. Willing to step up and have a crack at Paul Gallen. And it'll be a fair income contest.
Of course.
If Paul's interested, we're more than interested.
Wow.
And we love and admire Paul Gallen. We're massive Paul Gallen fans. So there'll be no talking it up. There'll be no to and fro between the boxes, all that carry on that they go on with.
Yeah.
There'll be no hate. It'll be a love fest. But when the bell goes, mate, away we go.
Crowd, a love fest.
No, it's hey, Don, when it's on, it's on.
It's on. That's right.
When they ring the bell, it's on.
Oh, no. We've got to get a crowd there.
Don, I love you.
And there's an added attraction. If the Veneto Club is any indication, if Rex could be there to introduce
TV
the two
ringside.
Fighters, that will sell the joint out. fair dinkum. Well, John Van Wisser, it is you're an extraordinary man. I don't know.
Hang
you
on,
very
I
well.
Want to know when are you going, John?
Oh, I leave in 3 weeks, Don. So July 18th, and my window starts July 23rd.
5 days to get a recover.
Mm.
So Phoebe, are you listening to this? She's still here. She over there. You're very, very big at the Sunday Herald Sun. Have you done an article on him?
Yeah, she did a story. Yeah.
Have you?
Oh. In the ice bath.
We did an interview with John about the Loch Ness.
Why don't you go over and cover it?
I would love to.
Well, that'd
you're
be great.
Pay. You're going to pay you. Get the Herald Sun to go over and pay you.
Get can we follow the probe, John?
Get
can
your
we?
Editor who doesn't give us a mention when he gets stuff off our podcast. Tell him to book you a fare and go over.
How about you call him and ask?
Well, if you give his name, I will.
John, thank you. No, we did a great set of photos of you.
It's Phoebe's talking off mic to
yeah,
John.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Fiona.
Saying we did an awesome. Extensive set of photos. I'm only just saying...
What about
no
progressively? Can we keep up with what's happening?
Very good question, Don. Very good question. We'll live it over Facebook and over Don.
Well, so where do you go to on Facebook?
Oh, Don, you're asking the wrong
man.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Of course, that's why.
You'll ask somebody else and we'll tell you. You'll have the information. But we'll live it over Facebook. We'll live it
this
over John's.
This is the problem why the man doesn't get any publicity.
Well, we
you.
Can. It's not.
You're
hey, Don,
a bloody thing
Don,
around his neck.
Fair
if you're up
I'd
to
run
date,
straight
you'd,
at you, Don.
You'd know all this.
I know you had a lot
of get a new
Don,
manager. He's full of shit.
You never had me tossed, Don, I'm telling you.
I'm sorry, knock your phone, Don.
If between now and when he goes, if you can find out how we follow his progress on Facebook, we'll announce here what the Facebook hookup is or whatever.
We'll do all that. Absolutely.
And maybe, John, maybe if we can work out the time difference, we could ring you from here one day.
No problem at all.
If we spoke to a man in the UK at 3 o'clock last week, our time, which was, I think, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning in UK. Yeah. So if we can work out, we might speak to you on
site. Is Brooksy going to do the filming?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Okay, so Brooksy could download this on YouTube or something, couldn't he?
Yeah, it'll Brooksy. Be over Facebook. I'm sure the audience out there, Facebook Live, Don.
No, people will, John, shut up. Will you?
Hey,
don't know
well, can't shut up, Don, if I want to talk. it'll be Facebook Live. People out there have already understood what that means. And you are right, Sam. We will happily speak to you from over there, as we've already arranged an international caller from you. And Sydney was... You did.
Yes.
Yes. What? Miss World, Anne Sydney. What? Beautiful Anne Sydney.
John, how do you know Anne Sydney, John?
I prefer not to say.
John Trek Square, Anne.
Bullshit.
Dumbass, we spoke to Anne Sydney here on the podcast.
And she was tracking with him.
My word, she
You're
was.
That's when she went through a blind stage.
Oh, I just say.
All right, well, John Van...
Hang on. Sydney, Rod McClellan.
Rod McClellan. He gave her a rat-a-tat-tat.
He gave Rod McClellan a rat-a-tat-tat.
Rod McClellan. Anne and John McClellan. What's his name?
Rod McClellan.
They split because of...
Locko.
He treated her unfair.
Who, Locko did?
Fucking numbskull. Now, Jesus H. Christ. So Locko, as I say, knows the unknown name of the unknown soldier. He met every person I've ever met. He said, oh, yeah, I know him. John Van Wisser, you're a remarkable man. Just all that stuff makes you even... weary thinking about it. So we will, and if we could just recommend, if you want to see someone go through the pain barrier like you've never seen, Crossing the Line, John Van Wisser on YouTube, filmed by the great John Locko and David Brooks.
Mainly Brooksy. I'm very, very minor part. I assisted Brooksy.
I'm starting to on with Don.
No, coattails of Brooksy.
You do nothing. I'm starting to all.
Yeah, except I provide the moolah. That's what I did. And I think it cost 15 grand to make that movie.
Well done.
Brooksy was great. We love him. And he's coming along with us again.
John, thank you very much for coming. Thanks, boys. You Cannot Be Serious. And if we can't get some sponsors... What about Kate Save? She wouldn't know. She can't sponsor them because trying to get her money. We're going to crowdfund her.
And Kate Save would sponsor...
She would.
Absolutely, she would. She's a lovely woman with a beautiful business.
She couldn't eat those...
Sims.
You couldn't eat those dim sims on the swing.
Dim sims are nice.
He squirt him out his ort like a machine gun. Shoot the neighbour's cat if he bent over. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Don.
You're a fantastic athlete.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.